With our readings today set up from Genesis, Adam finding his suitable partner and Eve being taken from his side, and then Jesus quoting that in the gospel and talking about the indissolubility of marriage and all that kind of stuff, you would think everything is set up for a slam dunk for a homily on marriage, right? And it kills me that I'm not going to preach about marriage today, but I'll have a chance for that, you know, sometime in the future. But instead, rather, since this is the first Sunday of October, and October is the month, the National Respect Life Month. And today in particular, this Sunday, the first Sunday of October, is National Respect Life Sunday. So I think it is fitting that I preach about the idea of respecting life and the importance and the why we hold to this truth in our faith, that life is to be protected from conception to natural death. So I guess to start off, I want to share a story with you that this was probably 45 years ago. It's been a minute. But there's a young lady who was working in a hospital, and as she's working in this hospital, she was going from one floor to another, and it was an old elevator, and the elevator jumped the cables. It was a cable elevator, jumped off the tracks, and the elevator dropped like two floors or something like that. And, you know, she was standing, and it, like the jolt of it, the impact, crushed a couple of discs in her spine. She was laying in the floor of the elevator until the fire department pried it open and got her out of there. And, you know, they did all the tests and x-rays and CAT scans or whatever, and they put her on some really, really high power pain medicine. And it wasn't until like a week or two later, after all this had been going on, and then somebody thought, well, maybe we should check to see if she's pregnant. Sure enough, she was. And so she'd had all this medicine and all these, you know, the x-rays and all this kind of stuff. And her doctor sat her down and said, look, with your back injury the way it is, if you carry this baby to term, you will never walk again. You cannot, your body cannot handle having this child. And if you do happen to carry this child to term, because of the drugs that you've been on, because of the x-rays and all the kind of stuff that you're not supposed to be doing when you're early on in pregnancy, this child is going to have, if it survives, it's probably not even viable. But if it survives, it's going to have some long-term complications, health issues, all kinds of issues, probably be, perhaps have mental disabilities and all that kind of stuff. And so the child is not, can't possibly have the quality of life that would be fair. And so the only real option here is for you to have an abortion. It's a sad situation, but you've got to have an abortion. And this young lady, she's like, you know, 22, and, you know, the doctor said, go home, talk it over with your husband. And she said, no, I don't need to talk about it. I don't need to go home. I will not have an abortion. I will not abort this child. And they went back and forth, and eventually the doctor said, well, if you're not going to follow my professional advice, then you need to find another doctor. I'm not going to see you. It's too big of a liability. Good luck with whatever you got going on. And so she did. She found another doctor, and she went on to have that child who was perfectly healthy. And she had some back issues, and I think that would have happened inevitably anyways, but she did walk, and she went on to, after that child, to have 8 more children. I am one of those additional 8 children. So my mom told us this story when we were young. I remember hearing this from a very early age of, you know, her conviction to not just think in theory of like, oh, yeah, life begins at conception, life is worth protecting, but to actually make a very scary decision in real life, and to follow that out, to be open to the Lord's will in that, and to be so convicted to be willing to face the consequences of what that might bring. And so you could say that, you know, the pro-life issue is something that is very near and dear to my heart. It's something that my dad was arrested during the Summer of Mercy a couple of times, I think, praying outside the abortion clinic. My godfather was David Gitrich, who, if you know him, he was the founder of Kansas for Life, one of the founders of the president of Kansas for Life for many years. So it's been a topic that I'm very much, it's, like I said, it's very near and dear to my heart. So when we come to, you know, October and the Respect Life and the whole issue surrounding the pro-life movement, the Catholic Church holds a lot of positions that are not currently in vogue, that our culture does not agree with us on, and we are kind of, in a lot of ways, on a lot of these topics, we are in the minority. Even our gospel today, where Jesus says God made them male and female. And so we teach that there are two genders, male and female, and that marriage is for life between one man and one woman. Those are not what our society at large, those are not values that our society at large agrees with. But these are teachings, these are truths that we can neither apologize for nor back down from. So truths that are timeless, and we don't get to mold them or shape them. They're not something that we get to create and take a vote whether or not we want morality to be this way or that way. These are truths that really do extend beyond us. It's interesting that as science comes along and we see more and more of the scientific perspective, that science is continually proving us right. And lo and behold, like, go figure, that life really does begin at conception. That a child in the womb, from the very moment of conception, is different than an appendix. It's different than a liver or a kidney. It is its own fully functioning being that is dependent on the mother, but is its own life. What's kind of cool is just within the last few years, there's been they've taken some really really high magnification resolution cameras, and they've taken pictures of eggs being fertilized in a little petri dish, which, you know, again, that's something that we would be against in the morality of most of the time of doing that kind of stuff, depending on circumstances. But they've taken these pictures of these eggs being fertilized, and what they've discovered, and they have pictures of this, is that at the moment where conception occurs, they've captured a flash of light that happens. And they've kind of narrowed it down to, like, apparently there's some phosphorus that's released, and that phosphorus has a kind of little spark of light. But they've captured it on camera, like this flash of light. And I would argue that light that they're capturing, that is the moment God places a soul within the material, the matter. And that's what we call a person. A human person is matter and a human soul combined. That is our definition of a person. And it doesn't matter color of your skin. It doesn't matter race. It doesn't matter religion. It doesn't matter your cognitive state or your IQ score or your bank account. It doesn't even matter if you're a Broncos fan, but, like, they're still people. And every person deserves to be respected. Every person deserves to be defended. I think most of us understand that. I think most of us get that. And there's all the exceptions and all the kind of arguments that come up with this kind of conversation where it's like, you know, we will be told, well, if you don't like abortion, just don't have one. Why do you got to impose your views on everybody else? And I would respond to that by saying, well, if you don't like slavery, just don't own a slave. It doesn't work because it's intrinsically wrong. And it's not just wrong for me, it's wrong for anyone. And yes, I have an obligation to defend those who cannot defend themselves. We live in an era where there's so much fracturing. There's so much division. There's so much animosity. Maybe it's just me, but it seems anyways that just gets worse all the time. And especially when you come to any of the hot button issues, that'll get you there real quick. But I guess what I would say is, for those of us who do uphold these truths, it's important to remember that those who disagree with us, you know, the teenage mom who's pregnant, or the college student who's pregnant, and her entire family, her boyfriend, her whatever, is telling her this is the only way forward, and she's scared and doesn't feel like she has any other options. That is not our enemy. And we do a major disservice when we vilify and demonize those people who do not agree with us. We actually hurt our own cause when we start pushing them down. Because people look at us and say, oh, look at those Christians, look at those hypocrites, look at them. You know, all they want to do is they want to have children, and they're pro-birth, but they won't do anything to lift a finger afterwards. And I would say even that argument, I think, is wildly inaccurate. The Catholic Church has been and continues to be one of the greatest organizations in terms of assisting those who are less fortunate, assisting single moms, helping those who are orphans, helping in those circumstances. But I think, like, not just looking at the Catholic Church as a whole, where this becomes important for each of us, is on our own examination of conscience. Do I say I am pro-life, or do I live pro-life? Could I look at my calendar for the last week, the last month, the last year, and could I point to those events or those ways that I have actually, I've lived this out to such a degree that I've actually inconvenienced myself to the point of, like, actually doing something about this? Have I volunteered at a soup kitchen? Have I spent time praying in front of an abortion clinic? Have I actually gone out of my way to assist women who are in crisis pregnancies? Have I donated money to those kind of causes? Because if the answer is no to that, and we say we're pro-life, I think there is a little bit of a double standard there. St. James, in his letter to his church, he said, you know, if you see a homeless guy on the street and you say, goodbye and good luck, I hope you keep warm and well fed, but you do nothing to meet his needs, that's worthless. The faith that has no actions to follow through is dead. And I think that also comes to the bear in the truth and the aspect or the topic of promoting and defending life. There's a few practical things I think that we can do. Prayer, obviously, is number one. This afternoon, and that's part of why I wanted to preach about this today, is this is Respect Life Sunday. So St. Peter will be out at the corner of K-42 and MacArthur. At that intersection there, we'll be praying. We'll be holding signs. We'll be standing there in silence to provide a witness today from 2 to 3:30. And it's uncomfortable. You get honked at, you get flipped off, people yell things at the window, sometimes they spit out the window, sometimes whatever. It's not fun, per se, but it's an incredibly important thing to provide a witness, to actually put your money where your mouth is. Bishop Kimmy is doing that by leading by example. Later this month, Saturday, October 19th, he is going to be... He will be offering a mass. They closed down the street. A couple years ago, the city denied his permit to be able to do this, but they granted it this year to shut down the street outside of the main abortion clinic here in Wichita. There are three of them, by the way, now. But the main one, is at the Southwind Women's Center, whatever it is, they'll close down the street, and he will offer a mass in the street there Saturday, 9 a.m., October 19th. Again, our bishop leading by example. Could you inconvenience yourself enough to be present to pray with our bishop? Another major way is how we cast our votes. Obviously, this is a political, an election year, and all the politics that surround that, and all the stuff that's there. But can you justify voting for a candidate who, any candidate for that matter, who has promised to enshrine intrinsically morally evil aspects into our law? And I really don't care, at that point, I really don't care what their economic plan is. I don't care what a lot of the other things are. If that is what they're defending, if that is what they promise to enshrine, I just find it very difficult to justify giving them our support.